Amen. Who am I? For those who are late, my name is Pastor Harris. I am the lead pastor, and I'm thankful and grateful and honored today to bring God's word. It's going to be a good day. I've been contending this whole week for this very message and also proclaiming and prophesying our vision for 2023 at First Open Bible. So I'm excited for this morning. Thank you, worship team. Thank you, Brent, for letting me throw that audible. Appreciate that. Amen. And the tech team for helping me in that audible. Hallelujah. Sometimes you just hear God and you got to say, hey, we got to go there. And I want to follow God's leading. I got words on a paper, but I want to preach the gospel. Hallelujah. You might have an agenda in your life this week, but you got to be able to preach the gospel. So sometimes God wants to throw you an audible. If you know what that is in football, that means basically you had a plan and then all of a sudden you switch up the plan, you throw an audible and you change your plan. And a lot of times an audible, what comes of an audible is success. Because you read the enemy or the defense, right? You read it, you throw an audible, and that Hail Mary was not as good as you thought it was going to be. God wanted you to do a button hook, go 15, button hook back, throw it, and then throw it back to guys until you get a touchdown, right? Sometimes you got to throw an audible. And oftentimes in an audible, there's success. So do not be stuck in your routine this week. Let God throw you an audible. Amen? Come on now. I'm done. Hallelujah. Okay. Hallelujah. Some of y'all snotting up here. Careful. We believe in healing, but there's one thing. Don't be dumb about it. Okay. 2023. Can you believe we are here? It's a new year. The things of 2022 are in the past, and what God has prepared, He's prepared new things for you for 2023. Last year, God gave us a vision statement of 2022 being the year of 2020 new. God wanted to do a new thing in your life. Isaiah 43:19, the verse for last year was, "For I'm about to do something new. See, I've already begun. Do you not see it? I will make a pathway through the wilderness. I'll create rivers in a dry wasteland." Amen? Amen. 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 So here we are, 2023. Jim Gatewood and myself were talking last month, and he's just like, "Hey, Pastor, I can't wait till next month and next year. It's going to be the year of 2023. It's going to be Jesus and me." And I was like, "Ooh, that's good." And I said, "2023 is going to be." And then I just started prophesying. Boom, boom, boom. And I'm like, "That was good." And so I brought that to the Lord in the last month and some change. And I believe that's the vision we have here for 2023. And unbeknownst to me, my wife said, "Oh my goodness, there's quite a lot of different people that have been prophesying, preaching, and teaching that even online." And I'm like, "Okay, well, I don't actually listen." Hallelujah. Praise God. I don't listen to a lot of different sermons, a lot of preachers, a lot of prophets and stuff. Not that I don't believe in it, but I want to be as pure as I can be to hear from God, because I believe that I have a mandate to preach to you and shepherd you. And sometimes if you listen to too many voices, you get all muddled up and it gets all dirty and muddy, and then you didn't really hear from God. You heard someone else's word from God, right? And so I actually didn't even know this was a huge thing that's going out, but I'm still going to proclaim it because obviously God's talking. He's saying something, and I'm thankful I'm able to hear His voice. So let me prophesy for a moment. Are you ready? All right, you got a tablet or a phone, you got to put it away. God's about to prophesy into your year and into your life. You ready? God gave me a vision statement for 2023. It is the year of 2020 free. God is going to bring freedom to many like never before. I'm praying for an outpouring of God's Spirit upon Cedar Rapids, upon Iowa, and the United States of America, and all over the earth. God's word says in Acts chapter 2, verses 17 through 19, "In the last days, God says, I will pour out my Spirit upon all people. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Young men will see visions, and old men will dream dreams. In those days, I will pour out my Spirit even upon my servants, men and women alike, and they will prophesy. And I will cause wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below. I believe the outpouring of God's Spirit is going to bring a supernatural freedom and a healing in 2023. See, the world around us, church, it's going to get darker. God's remnant and the major influx, exactly what was preached today with the tongue interpretation, there's a major influx of new believers coming to Christ. So God's remnant and the new believers, you are going to encounter God, and you're going to encounter him in incredible and in powerful ways. There's going to be signs, there's going to be wonders, and there's going to be miracles that are going to take place on earth. Many will prophesy to their own situations and lift up God's word as truth, and they're going to get set free from their afflictions. Addicts are going to be clean. Let me prophesy this. Addicts are going to be clean. Cancer is going to leave bodies. Tumors are going to disappear. Depression is going to be joyfully lifted. Unforgiveness and bitterness turned over to God. Division into strong unity. Prodigals repenting and coming home. Lies will be brought into the light, and they will be exposed. Religious demons will scatter as Christ's name is lifted high. Hard hearts will be softened, and faith will be unshakable, and the lost will be found. I'm excited for the things that God is going to do. Amen. Some of y'all came to church and you say, "Where am I?" You're in the house of God. That's where you are. You might turn on some sports. You say, "Those guys are crazy. We should be crazier. Those guys are going to fail us. They're going to fumble the ball. They're going to miss the touchdown. But our God will never fail us." So we got to celebrate. I'm excited for the things that God is going to do on the earth this year. It's a new year with amazing new freedoms with God. Church, are you ready?
Yes.
Here we go. 2020 free. Amen? Praise God. Let's give him a hand. You're worthy, God. Let it be, let it be, let it be. If it's your word, let it come to pass.
Amen.
Now I pray that what I just prophesied into your new year is going to encourage your faith. Anybody's faith being encouraged today? See, faith comes by hearing, and by hearing the word of God. And I just wanted to prophesy what God was saying today. And I'm going to preach a gospel message today as well. I pray that this, what I just prophesied into our new year, is going to encourage what God wants to do in your life and what he wants to do in the lives around you as well. Church, living as a follower of Jesus requires a faith that cannot be shaken. It's okay to question God, but not to go against him, okay? You give yourself room to be a human, but know that you're a child of the living God. The Bible's full of examples of men and women who taught and trusted in the faithfulness of God even when it wasn't easy. They are called heroes of the faith. Put them on speaker, they need to hear this. Pastor Mark wonderfully kicked off our new series and our new year last Sunday. And this title for our new series is titled Faith Explored. In this series, we're going to go through some stories from the Bible where God's people had to step out in faith and trust God to guide them and take care of them. This series will show that if you want to see the power of God, you have to be willing to step out in faith and follow God. Hebrews 11:6 says this, "And it is impossible." Church, say impossible.
Impossible.
Say it like you mean it. Say impossible.
Impossible.
It is impossible. There's no possibility to please God without faith. Anyone who wants to come to him must believe that God exists, and that he rewards those who sincerely seek him. We will all witness God's power and his provision when we are full of God-sized faith. Now, a God-sized faith, church, it's displayed when we step out and trust before the miracle takes place. If you have a miracle and you thank God, that's gratitude. If you don't have a miracle yet and you believe in him and you step out in faith and then you get the miracle, that's called faith. A God-sized faith means we keep our eyes on Jesus when storms rage around us. A God-sized faith means we are willing to follow God without knowing fully where it will take us. A God-sized faith means living for God even if it costs you something great. If you want to see the power of God, you have to be willing to step out in faith. Anybody ready for the word today? 25 people in the house. What about the rest of you? Look at your neighbor and say, I'm ready for the word. Amen. Now, the Old Testament is full of stories of great faith. Anybody love the Old Testament? Say, hey. Some of you dudes are like, hey. And your neighbor's like, what? Just know I started it, so we're all good. Hey. What? You really got into that. Okay. The Old Testament is full of stories of faith. From great men and women of faith. As the Israelite people were led into a long-awaited promised land, they were led by a great new leader, and he was full of faith, and his name was Joshua. The only thing standing in their way was a flooded Jordan River. Just like Moses' faith in God splitting the Red Sea, Joshua's faith would do it again. The only problem was that this time they would have to get their feet wet first. Come on now. They would have to step out and see the miracle take place. But these steps of obedience allow God's people to walk through their miracle. Church, God can be trusted. God will bless your obedience. You wonder how they get so far in their faith. How they get so rich in their love for God. How did they see their life go so far? They were once like this, but now they're like that. How did that happen? It's one step of faith at a time. It's obedience one after the other. I don't know what it's going to look like tomorrow, but today I'm going to choose God. And I don't know exactly if this is going to take place or not, but I'm going to follow his word and have faith that his word is true. It's one day at a time, one step at a time, and then you find yourself walking through a miracle. If you decide to do the hard things, it is then you can see God move in powerful ways. Following Christ is not easy. Anybody had a much easier life since you followed Jesus? A few people. Okay, tell us your secrets. Hallelujah. Because the enemy, when you follow God, the enemy comes at you even harder. And if you share the gospel, you got even a bigger target on your back. But let me tell you, there's no better way to live this side of heaven than to follow Jesus in all that you do. To have faith in him. It might be harder, but you got somebody to get you through it. It might be more difficult, but you have faith and you got somebody that fights for you. You were on your own, but now you're walking with God. If you want to see the power of God, you may have to get ankle deep first. This sermon series is going to deal with the very core of what it means to be a Christian. The Bible's full of individuals and groups of people who did incredible things. Not because of the strength that they had in and of themselves, but because of their great faith in God. This month, we're going to explore the lessons of faith. And we're going to look at extraordinary faith from some of the greatest stories that are found in Scripture about faith. Excited? Yes. I'm even going to read you a story today. It's Story Day with Pastor Harris. It's not only a story, it's history. It happened. So Pastor Mark did a wonderful job preaching last week on what is faith. You can go online. We got Facebook. We got YouTube. And you can watch what is faith. Pastor Mark had an awesome quote that I wrote down. He actually had lots of cool quotes, but I love this one. Quote, what you believe will define how you live. End quote. Now, one of the greatest definitions in all of God's word on biblical faith, it's found in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, and it says this. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Faith is confidence in the things we hope for. Faith is found in the principles and the promises we read about in God's word. Faith puts trust in God's character. Who really is God? Not what CNN or NBC or Fox News says about God. Not when those prosperity gospel preachers or those doom and gloom preachers. What does the word of God say about God's character? Who is he? Your faith needs to be put in trust in his character. Faith is understanding what God has done and knowing he can and he will do it again. God, I read in your word that you did this. Can you do it again? I believe you can. I'm going to stand on your word and believe your word is truth. And it's not just for the years past. It is for my present and my future. God, I believe that what you said is true. I'm going to walk through some things, but God, you're going to lead me in those. And I believe if you did it for them, you can do it for me. Right? Your character says that you love me, that you're my father, that you speak to me and you want to purify my life and you want me to be more like Jesus, but you walk me through it. You get me through it. I have faith in you and your word is true and that you're going to walk me through these things because you love me. You're not sitting up on your throne and wondering what's going on. You intimately love me through your spirit that is here on earth. And I thank you for that. Speak to me, guide me, love me, purify me, put me on fire, send me out, God. Do what you want to do because you did it before and I know you can do it again. Yeah. Amen? Woo. You want to know what true biblical faith is? Nobody? Nobody. Anybody out there? You guys want to know? Okay. True biblical faith incorporates two things. Both belief and action. That's true biblical faith. Some of y'all sitting in your house wondering where God is, and he says, you haven't even taken a step of faith one time. You ask that I just show up in your house, but you haven't even given me true faith. You have the belief, but you don't have any action. Biblical faith is the assurance and the action of things hoped for and yet unseen. Now, the stories of faith in Scripture have been given to us as an example to follow. I'm thankful for the Word of God. He loves us enough that he gave us amazing, incredible stories in the Word of God. This is a love story. This is an empowering, incredible, God-given gift to us. It is his words from his throne to us. And these stories we read about, these are examples to follow in our life. God desires for his people to live out extraordinary faith. The story we're going to look at today shows us that sometimes we have to take the first step. Church, say first step.
First step.
We got to take the first step to see that God is faithful. The Bible tells us that when Moses rescues the people of Israel after 400 years of slavery in Egypt, 400 years, God's chosen people are in slavery in Egypt. They begin a long journey. They begin an exodus to a place that had been promised to God's people. Now, this promised location was called the Promised Land. It was said to be a place flowing with milk and honey. It was a symbol of God's blessings. It was a symbol of his rest and his incredible provision. But a problem arises as God's people realize that the land of Canaan, the promised land, is inhabited by giants. And they have to cross this huge river to get there. And what happens? This causes fear in the hearts of many. In order to take the land of Canaan, they would have to exercise extraordinary faith multiple times. Let me give you a little background. And we're going to get right into the Word of God. The book of Joshua begins with a new leader. Guess what his name is? Anyone? Joshua. Come on now. I know somebody in church say, Jesus. I was like, that's downstairs, okay. Oh, that's fun. That's a Sunday school joke. Hallelujah. Okay. You're right. It's Joshua. The book of Joshua begins with a new leader, and his name is Joshua. He is readying his people to cross the Jordan River into the promised land. The future is uncertain. The way is dangerous. God's people, they get clear instruction for their next steps of faith. Please open to Joshua chapter 1 while I take a drink. Joshua chapter 1. I'm going to read out of the NLT. I'm going to walk around. Why? Because I'm about to read the most scripture I have ever read in church at one point in time, and I am excited about it, and I have read this 10 to 12 times this week. I'm excited for it. I'm going to read out of my phone because it's much easier to see for me. Joshua chapter 1. We're going to read chapter 1, 2, and part of 3 here in just a moment. Okay? If you're there, say, I'm there.
There.
Okay. If you're not there, look up on the screen. I'm going to walk around a lot, so it's going to really going to annoy the tech people here in just a moment. Hallelujah. Thank you for your mercy. You ready? Joshua chapter 1. After the death of Moses, the Lord's servant, the Lord spoke to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' assistant. He said, Moses, my servant, is dead. Therefore, the time has come for you to lead these people, the Israelites, across the Jordan River into the land that I am giving them. I promise you what I promised Moses. Wherever you set your foot, you will be on the land I have given you. That's a good promise. Verse 4. From the NEGEV wilderness, I don't know how many times I read that and I could never get that right. Okay, from that wilderness in the south of the Lebanon mountains in the north, from the Euphrates River in the east, to the Mediterranean Sea on the west, including all the land of the Hittites, no one will be able to stand against you as long as you live. For I will be with you as I was with Moses. I will not fail you or abandon you. Come on, somebody hold and grab that today for you. Come on now. Verse 6, be strong and courageous. God is saying this to Moses, the new leader. Be strong and courageous for you. I'm sorry, Joshua, thank you. Moses is dead, now it's Joshua. Thank you so much. Be strong and courageous for you are the one who will lead these people to possess all the land I swore to their ancestors I would give them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful, okay? How do you be strong and very courageous? You be careful to obey all the instructions Moses gave you. God's words. Do not deviate from them, turning either from the right or the left. Then you will be successful in everything you do. Study this book of instruction continually. Some of y'all don't have the strength of God because you haven't continually been in your word. Meditate on it day and night so you will be sure to obey everything written in it. Only then you will prosper and succeed in all you do. This is my command. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Come on now. Verse 10, Joshua then commanded the officers of Israel, go through the camp and tell the people to get their provisions ready. In 3 days, you will cross the Jordan River and take possession of the land the Lord God is giving you. Then Joshua called together the tribes of Reuben, Gad, and the half-tribe of Manasseh. He told them, remember what Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you. The Lord your God is giving you a place of rest. He has given you this land. Your wives, your children, your livestock may remain here in the land of Moses assigned to you on the east side of the Jordan River. But your strong warriors, fully armed, must lead the other tribes across the Jordan to help them conquer their territory. Stay with them until the Lord gives them rest, and he has given you rest, and until they too possess the land the Lord your God is giving them. Only then may you return and settle here on the east side of the Jordan River in the land that Moses, the servant of the Lord, assigned to you. I love what they say back to Joshua. They even repeat his own words. See, God says one thing, and even his servants remind Joshua what God said. Let's read it here, verse 16 and through 18. They answer Joshua, "We will do whatever you command us, and we will go wherever you send us. We will obey you just as we obeyed Moses. And may the Lord your God be with you as he was with Moses. Anyone who rebels against your orders and does not obey your words and everything you commanded will be put to death." Woo! Be strong and courageous. I love that. That encourages me that not only am I supposed to encourage you, you encourage me. And not only are you supposed to encourage your neighbor, they're supposed to encourage you. We encourage each other with God's word. Even when God says it to us, we encourage one another. Amen. Even Joshua, who conquered everything he ever set his foot upon and his hand to, is even saying, be strong and courageous. Church, go to chapter 2. Verse 1, then Joshua secretly sent out two spies from the Israelite camp at the Acacia Grove. He instructed them, scout out the land on the other side of the Jordan River, especially around Jericho. So the two men set out and came to a house of a prostitute named Rahab and stayed there that night. But someone told the king of Jericho, some Israelites have come here tonight to spy out our land. So the king of Jericho sent orders to Rahab, bring out the men who have come into your house, for they have come here to spy out the whole land. Now Rahab had hidden the two men, but she replied, naughty Rahab, she lies. Yes, the men were here earlier, but I didn't know where they were from. They left the town at dusk at the gates where when they were about to close. I don't know where they went. If you hurry, you could probably catch up with them. Verse 6, right? Actually, she had taken them up to the roof and hidden them beneath the bundles of flax she had laid out. So the king's men went looking for the spies along the road leading to the shallow crossings of the Jordan River. And as soon as the king's men had left, the gates of Jericho were shut. Before the spies went to sleep that night, Rahab went up on the roof to talk to them. I know the Lord has given you this land, she told them. We are all afraid of you. I want to stop there for a moment. Do you know what God can do? He can have slaves of 400 years be the great conquerors that everyone else fears. Because when God is in the mix, he will walk you through things. And you can go from slave who has not even one freedom to the greatest freedom where you were going exactly where God has called you to. Amen? We are all afraid of you. Everyone in the land is living in terror. I mean, you're like, boom, yeah. I mean, you know they're walking like this. Oh, really? I didn't even know. Okay. They got the God swag. Okay. Joshua 2:10. For we have heard how the Lord made a dry path for you through the Red Sea when you left Egypt. And we know what you did to Sihon and Og, the two Amorite kings east of the Jordan River, whose people you completely destroyed. No wonder our hearts have melted in fear. No one has the courage to fight after hearing such things. For the Lord your God is the supreme God of the heavens above and the earth below. You don't think there needs to be a manifestation of what God believes and has in his word and God's people in this day? There has to be something that happens in the house of God and out into the world through God's people. And when that happens, even non-believers in a different town will be afraid and excited and even acknowledge. For the Lord your God is supreme God of the heavens above and the earth below. That's what can happen, church. I'm believing 2023 is going to have a lot of that. Ooh, there's something going on. I don't know what's going on with those believers all over the world, but their God must be the real God. Joshua 2:12. Now swear to me by the Lord. This is Rahab talking to the two spies. Now swear to me to the Lord that you will be kind to me and my family since I've helped you. Give me some guarantee that when Jericho is conquered, you will let me live along with my father, my mother, my brothers, and my sisters, and all of their families. We offer you our own lives as guarantees for your safety, the men agreed. If you don't betray us, we will keep our promise and be kind to you when the Lord gives us the land. Then, since Rahab's house was built into the town wall, she let them down by a rope through the window. Escape to the hill country, she told them. Hide there for 3 days from the men searching for you. Then when they have returned, you can go on your way. Before they left, the men told her, "We will be bound by the oath we have taken only if you follow these instructions." They're telling Rahab this is what she must do, and she will be protected. "When we come into your land, you must leave this scarlet rope hanging from the window through which you let us down, and all your family members, your father, your mother, your brothers, and all your relatives must be here inside the house. If they go out into the street and are killed, it will not be our fault. But if anyone lays a hand on the people inside this house, we will accept the responsibility for their death. If you betray us, however, we will not be bound by this oath in any way." She says, "I accept your terms." And she sent them on their way, leaving the scarlet rope hanging from the window. The spies went up into the hill country and stayed there 3 days, just like she said. The men who were chasing them, searching everywhere along the road, but they finally returned without success. Clever gal. Verse 23, "Then the two spies came down from the hill country, crossed the Jordan River, and reported to Joshua all that happened to them. 'The Lord has given us this whole land,' they said to Joshua, 'for all the people in the land are terrified of us.'" All right. In chapter 3, we're going to read through verse 6. "Early the next morning, Joshua and all the Israelites left Acacia Grove and arrived at the banks of the Jordan River. They were camped before crossing. 3 days later, the Israelite officers went through the camp, giving these instructions to the people. 'Whenever you see the Levitical priests carrying the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God, move out from your positions and follow them. Since you have never traveled this way before, they will guide you. Stay about a half of a mile behind them, keeping a clear distance between you and the ark. Make sure you don't come any closer.'" Verse 5, "Then Joshua told the people, 'Purify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do great wonders among you.'" Who purified themselves Saturday yesterday? Because God wanted to do something today. Come on now. Woo! Did you prepare for what God wanted to do by purifying yourself? Come on now. Verse 6. "In the morning, Joshua said to the priests, 'Lift up the Ark of the Covenant and lead the people across the river.' And so they started out and went ahead of the people." Let's stop there for a moment. God gives the people a clear instruction for their next steps of faith. Camped on one side of the Jordan River, the people are told that when they see the priests moving the Ark of the Covenant, they are to follow, not too far and not too close. Now, what's the Ark of the Covenant? Some of us don't know what that is. The Ark of the Covenant is a very significant to the Jewish people. They believed it housed the physical presence of God. So God gives us instructions to them because God wanted the Israelite people to stay in step with him. Not to go before God, not to go too far behind God, and not to go to the left, right? Is this your left? Or to your right? Instead, he wanted them to follow the presence of God as he led them. And if he did, Joshua promised that they would see the Lord do amazing things. Church, God desires obedience from his people. And their faithfulness will result in him showing his power and his might. There will be signs, and there will be miracles, and there will be wonders. In order to see God move powerfully in our lives, we must follow his lead. You ready to finish this part of the story? Two people, awesome. Will you just come up here, please? I'm going to read it to you. Hallelujah. Anybody ready to read the rest of the story? Yeah. Amen. Okay, we're going to start in verse 7, Joshua 3. We're going to read through it all the way through the chapter. The Lord told Joshua, "Today I will begin to make you a great leader in the eyes of the Israelites. They will know that I am with you, just as I was with Moses. Give this command to the priests who carry the Ark of the Covenant. When you reach the banks of the Jordan River, take a few steps into the river and stop there." So Joshua told the Israelites, "Come and listen to what the Lord your God says. Today you will know that the living God is among you. He will surely drive out all the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Hivites, the Perizzites, the Jebusites, the Amorites, the Jebusites ahead of you." Hallelujah. You know you would have said the same thing if you were up here. Come on now. The Jebusites, the Amorites, and the Jezebelites. Yeah. The tongue-tyingites. All right. Moving on. Verse 11. "Look, the Ark of the Covenant, which belongs to the Lord of the whole earth, will lead you across the Jordan River. Now choose 12 men from the tribes of Israel, one from each tribe. The priests will carry the Ark of the Lord of all the earth. As soon as their feet touch the water, the flow of the water will be cut off upstream, and the river will stand up like a wall." So they stayed in camp and they questioned everything he said. They went home and did their same things they always do. They didn't get out of their camp and they didn't follow. They're like, that's a cool miracle. No, that's not what they did. Verse 14. "So the people left their camp to cross the Jordan, and the priests who were carrying the Ark of the Covenant went ahead of them." Verse 15. "It was the harvest season, and the Jordan was overflowing its banks. But as soon as the feet of the priests who were carrying the Ark of the Covenant touched the water of the river's bank, the water above that point began to back up a great distance away from the town called Adam, which is near Zarethan. And the water below that point flowed on to the Dead Sea until the riverbed was dry. Then all the people crossed over near the town of Jericho." Verse 17, "Meanwhile, the priests who were carrying the Ark of the Lord's covenant stood on dry ground in the middle of the riverbed as the people passed by. They waited there until the whole nation, millions and millions and millions of people, the whole nation of Israel had crossed the Jordan on dry ground." Come on. God split the Jordan River for Joshua, just like he split the Red Sea for Moses. Speaking through Joshua, God gives the priests their instructions for what they must do in order for God's people to enter the promised land of Canaan. They're to take the Ark of the Covenant, which is God's presence, and enter into the river. This instruction is already a test of their faith, because the passage tells us that the Jordan River was at flood stage. This wasn't a creek. It wasn't something you could hop over or even walk across or maybe even swim across. It was not a shallow river. It was flooding over. However, Joshua knew that if the people were willing to trust God to make a way through the Jordan, he would also make a way through the new land where he was leading them. Amen. Now, there's three major obstacles standing in the way of their promise from God: an overflowing river, big stone walls, and giant enemies. But church, faith requires a first step. Amen. Come on now. What I find the most interesting thing about this story is this: God did not split the water and provide dry ground. Remember what happened with Moses? He put up his staff and it all parted. This is different. God did not split the water to provide dry ground until the priests carrying the ark, until the priests, God's people, God's ones that come to church and worship at church, would grab God's presence and put their feet into the overflowing river. Their demonstration of faith by putting themselves ankle deep in the Jordan was a catalyst to the amazing things God would do for them next. No one, church, say no one.
No one,
no one has helped change the world by playing it safe. Nobody. Faith often requires a first step. If you want to see the power of God, you have to be willing to step out in faith. I'm going to ask you some questions. What are you asking God to do in your life right now? What are you asking God to do for your year of 2023? Some of y'all just want to stay on that lazy river. Oh, come on now. While other people are contending for God to part it. Come on now. Some of you already know what you have to do and what God wants you to do. Some of you already know, but it's hard to see it because there's a difficult obstacle in your way. But what if God is asking you to take one initial step of faith first? You don't have to have it all figured out. First in line. You know what my prayer often is, church? I pray this often. I've said it before. God, I don't need to know all the steps. I just want to know your next one. God, I don't need to know all the answers because I probably can't handle it. I just want to know the next one. God, I don't know everything you want to do, but will you tell me the next place I got to go so I can go in the direction of the things you want to do? Faith oftentimes requires a first step. You don't have to have it all figured out. The path may be murky and overflowing, but the water won't part and the miracle will not happen until you get ankle deep. If you want to see the power of God, you have to be willing to step out in faith. Your step of faith ought to lead to a step of action. Having faith in God is the very core of what it means to be a Christian. I'm going to say that again. Mufasa. Woo. Hear that? I'm going to say it again. Mufasa. Woo. Say it again. Having faith in God is at the very core of what it means to be a Christian. If you don't have faith in God, I can say this with confidence. You can't please Him and you probably aren't following Him, which means that you might not be a Christian. Faith comes by hearing the Word of God. And you are saved when you confess with your mouth and you believe, you have faith in your heart that Jesus Christ is Lord and He was raised from the dead. You shall be saved. Some of y'all just jump in and out of Christianity like it's some weird game. You got to have faith in God. I'm not saying you got to be so far over, but you got to keep taking a step closer to His throne. Just take one little step. Maybe it's a little baby step. Maybe it's a big step. But you got to have a step of faith to get closer to the throne of God. You want to take five steps back and wonder where God is? Well, he's six steps in front of you. You should have went one more step forward, but you went five steps back because you relied on you. You relied on the news. You relied on all these things and neighbors and the naysayers and all the things in the world and the whatever you want to believe. All your insecurities and all the things. Give it to God, man, and take a step forward and let God see what God will do. Maybe He's going to blow your mind. Maybe maybe he's going to blow your spiritual mind, right? And he's going to do something in your life that's going to be insane, but he's waiting for you to step out and quit being so lazy in your faith. And he's saying, you got to do something so I can show you something. Amen? Amen? Your step of faith ought to lead to a step of action. People aren't going to hear the gospel unless you speak it, unless you live it, unless you bring it to them. Good news bringers, come on now. Having faith in God is at the very core of what it means to be a Christian. You must follow closely where God leads and be willing to take the steps to see him work in your life. See, faith isn't just about believing. Faith involves doing something about what you believe in. Now, don't get all crazy and weird with it. You got to use wisdom too. Spirit and truth. Some of y'all get so spiritual, you just go way off the deep end and you think you're with God and God's going, I am way over here. And some of y'all are just in truth all the time and you never follow the Spirit. And you say, man, you're dry and you're way over here. Yes. Spirit and truth. Follow the Spirit of God and his leadings, and it's going to be weird. Because it's not going to be natural. That's why he's supernatural. But you got to also follow his truth, which is his word and what he's done and what he wants to do and the prophecy in God's word and the history of God's word and all the things that he's done and stand on that. And when you bring them together, then you can walk, come on, through the miracle God has for your life. Amen. I'm wrapping it up. I'm wrapping it up. Hallelujah. God, let me put a bow on it. I want to invite you here in just a moment to ask God to speak to you about what step of faith you need to make today. Not tomorrow, not after lunch, right now, today. See, when God speaks, it's time to take a step of faith. I want to encourage you right now to ask God if this is the year of 2023. Are you going to be one of the ones that carries God's presence into a situation, into the situation, so others can see a miracle? Are you going to be one of those Levitical priests carrying God's presence, and you believe in the miracle, and you're going to get your ankles wet, and you're going to step there while other people see the miracle? Or are you going to be the ones that are waiting for the other ones to go before you? Because you need a miracle in your life, and you're looking to the men and women of faith who are stepping up this year and saying, I'm willing to walk and get ankle deep and to step out in faith. And while I do that, there are going to be others behind me who are going to walk through that miracle because I took that step of faith. And then someday they're going to be that person in that spot. Ask God, which one are you going to be this year? Either way, First Open Bible, you got to be ready for his outpouring. You got to be ready for what's going to come. This year, God will pour out his presence. I believe it. I'm not saying he hasn't done it before, but I'm believing in a different kind of measure, in a different way. I want to contend for it. I'm not satisfied with the same old, walking through it. And I get up to heaven and God says, why didn't you push just a little bit more? Why didn't you lead just a little bit stronger? Why don't you challenge your faith a little bit more? Do you even believe what you're preaching? Do you even believe what you're reading in the Word? And step out of faith and believe that what I did for Moses and what I did for Joshua, I can do for 2023. I can split some things and people can walk through some things and miracles can take place and people can get set free and the lost can know that you love them, that you died for them, and you set them free. This is the year, I believe, God is going to pour out his presence in a miraculous way. I don't know what it's going to look like, church. I don't know. I don't know. I don't know exactly. But I want to be a part of it. So if I want to be a part of it, I better prepare for it. I don't know if y'all heard me. Pew sitters. Pew sitters. Okay? We can't just sit here expecting God just to pour out. We got to get up and take a step of faith in our life. Amen? I feel the resistance right now. There's many in here right now says, I don't know what to do. I can't do that. I've never done like anything like that before. First of all, your biggest problem is you just said everything about you.
Yes.
Your faith is in you. Amen. And what you can do.
Amen.
20 years ago, you think I'd be standing here preaching the gospel? I don't think so. Did I want to? No. It's not in my strength, it's in His. It's not my calling and what I wanted in my life, it's what He wants in my life. And you know, God is calling us to different measures of faith in 2023. Are you going to get up and get ankle deep? Or are you going to wait for other people to go before you and then see the miracle so then you can get ankle deep to see other people? Either way, you better expect an outpouring. You better expect God's presence. You better follow in step with Him. Don't get to the right or to the left, right? Those ones that chase the next high of the Holy Ghost. But don't be so far behind you can't even feel or see His presence. And don't get ahead of Him because you think you got better plans of your own life than He has for you. You walk step in step with God, and according to this, is a half a mile. I don't know. I got nothing for that. That's just what it says in here. So whatever it is, there's a place to be in God's presence. And here's the thing. It's supposed to be in front of you. And as it goes, you go. And as His presence is stronger and greater and things are happening, you're stepping closer and you're getting closer. And then, oh, come on. See, the presence of God, as they followed God, they followed Him to the river and they're supposed to be a half a mile apart. But were they half a mile apart when it split? No. As they got closer to the miracle, they got closer to God's presence. If you want to see a miracle, you got to get closer to God's presence. You might start a half a mile back, but you're going to get a little bit closer. And as you get closer, things are going to start splitting. Things are going to start drying up, and there's going to be miracles taking place. And you're going to look behind you, and there's a bunch of followers walking in that same amazing miracle. Okay, that was from God. I ain't on here. Come on, you got to get closer to the presence. Worship team, will you come? If you want to see a miracle, you got to get ankle deep. Do you want to see something new in your life? You got to believe it and then put some action behind it. Quit waiting for God to do something. Matthew West had a great song. He said, you do something. God, I look around the world and I see all these problems and I say, where are you? And He says, I've created you. You're full of God's presence. You're the tabernacle of God. You are full of the Holy Ghost. You might be, see, when you accept Christ, God comes and lives in you and makes you brand new. But then you can be baptized in the Holy Ghost. And you can have the power of God. And when you do that, it's like the Ark of the Covenant has some things in it. And then you get filled with the Holy Ghost. And the Ark of the Covenant is overflowing and spilling out everywhere that you go. You're the presence of God. You have the presence of God in you. What an honor it is to know Jesus. What an honor it is. I'm going to listen to what God wants to do as we wrap up today. We can sing a song and be all hyped up and leave and be like, woohoo! I'm on a high till Monday and evening. And I'm back to normal. Mm-mm. I don't want it, Lord. I don't want it, Lord. Will you stand, church, please? Let your river flow, God. Let your river flow. Some of y'all have trials and tribulations in your life right now, and you think it's of the enemy, but it's actually of God because He wants to see you walk through it, but you have to take a step in it. Sometimes God has tests in our life. He doesn't give you trials to make you trip up. He gives you tests to purify you. And some of you are going through some things today and you think it's of the enemy, but it's not. It's of God. And He wants to see you walk through it in faith and to step out and see that something's going to take place. And you keep giving it to the devil. The devil made me do this. The devil made me do that. And that's the devil, devil, devil. You know what? God put that in your way because He wants to see if you're going to step out. I'm not saying everybody. I'm saying somebody in here. You have something in your life right now that there's a test of faith in your life, and he wants to see what you will do. Will you trust him? Will you see a miracle? Will you walk on dry ground? Is that up to God? It's up to you. Hallelujah. If that's you today, I'm going to ask you to do something. Before we go, be led by the Spirit, whatever you feel like the last song should be, right? We're going to work on that thing in the beginning where I do this. Okay, we're working. This week, we got it. Hallelujah. Some of y'all just tired. Another thing the river represents is a refreshing and a renewing. Maybe the water is purer and more refreshing on the other side. This side is dirty and messy and full of icky creatures and stuff. Got some bacteria and nasties. Tadpoles and stuff. But maybe on the other side. Maybe on the other side, it's pure. It's refreshing. Life-giving. Anybody want to cross the other side of whatever you're going through right now and you want to see a miracle in your life? If that's you, just step out. Step out and come up here. Step out and come up here. We're just gonna sing. There's nothing magical, nothing great, but you're stepping out in faith and saying, God, and I just want you to talk to him. However you talk to him, just say, God, I need you. I need you to refresh me. But God, I gotta have something in my life. I gotta be. I gotta walk to the other side of this. Come on now. Worthy is the Lamb. 2023, the year of a lighter pulpit. Hallelujah. I'm going to pray for you, and we're going to go. And it's up to you if you want to go changed or not. Step out in faith. You're not always going to feel it. You're not always going to see it, but you're going to believe it. You walk by faith, and you do not walk by sight, but take that step in faith, not in sight. Ooh, come on now. When you walk out in faith, your walk will become sight. You will start seeing the things that God is doing. And I want to tell you something. Give God glory for that. He deserves the glory. It's not what we have done. There's nothing good about me. It is what God has done. And his glory is for his kingdom. And you'll be glorified, God, when you do it. Let me pray for you. Father in heaven, we love you. We thank you that your word is alive and active. We thank you for the word that you gave us about the history of Joshua walking with God's people and the priest carrying God's presence into the river. And God, you didn't split it this time without anybody getting their feet wet or without walking out in trust. But God, you led Israelites for 40 years each and every day, and they got to a miracle, another miracle, and you split the Red Sea. And then you're asking that Joshua lead the people into the promised land, but to get to that one step closer to the miracle that they all been waiting for hundreds of years, we had to get our feet wet first. We had to take a step of faith. And right now there's people at the front of this church that are saying, I am taking a step of faith. I'm probably uncomfortable standing up here. I don't know if I wanted to get out, but I did what I wanted to do because, God, I felt your unction from the Spirit of God. I thank you that your word is alive and true. I don't know what you're going to do, but I want to trust you. I don't know what it's going to look like, but I trust you. God, I don't know how I'm going to walk through this or that or believe this or that, but I trust you. So here I am. I'm taking a step. God, I ask that right now, each and every person that's up here, will you raise your hand if you're at the front? It's an international sign of surrender. They're surrendering to your will. They surrender to your will. They're surrendering to your next step. God, just give them the next step. Teach them what you want them to know. We love you, and we trust you. And as we sing this song and as we pray before we go, solidify it in our hearts, in our minds, and in our lives. And as we go today from the house of God, we go with you. In Jesus' name. If you believe it, say amen. Now just spend time with God. Just spend time with God right now in this song.